hope you enjoy the show. Bye.
Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back, and Happy New Year. I'm here with my co-host, Carol
Peterson.
Hi, Happy New Year.
Hi.
Did you have
and
a
so
good...
it is.
Yes, it is. 2024. I think that's shocking to hear for all of us. It goes by so rapidly. but we're here and we're anticipating a good year. And some of that good year that we are anticipating is our postulates on what we create, what we plan to create during this year. And very often they're called New Year's resolutions. And those resolutions, I mean, what are we dealing with? In the beginning, it's like 100%. And by the first week, it's gone down to, we've reduced it and already started to break down our resolve to about 80%. By the end of the first month, there's only about 40% of people that are sticking with what they promised themselves they would do in New Year's. And by the end of 2 months, there's very, very few, less than 10% who have continued. So what is happening? That's what we want to discover today. We want to discover it with you. We want to talk about the science. And we also want to speak with you on what worked, what doesn't, what are your New Year's resolutions, and how do you plan to go about creating them? So the number to call to give us your input is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. Let's get a lively conversation, because I must say, this is a lively topic. So one thing that I want to start out with a little bit of an outline, Carol. And I want to begin by why people don't follow through. And I think there's a very important reason. One is, you know, we talk about New Year's resolutions and we talk about motivation. And I just read something recently, and I've read it over multiple times, but in different words. But one was, many of us are waiting for the motivation, but what we really need is routine. So that's a very powerful statement. It hit me like, wow, isn't that real? We're waiting for motivation to stop smoking. But hey, people are smoking. They don't want to stop smoking. They need to make the decision and then create a life routine. We're waiting for motivation to stop eating sweets, but we don't want to stop eating sweets, but we have to make the decision and then create a routine, create a habit that will carry us through and carry us through more than 1 week of the new year. So, Carol, what do you think about that? I've got other thoughts. I've got a whole outline on how to make this work, but you waiting on
Okay.
On this first slot.
Okay. So we had a Toastmasters meeting yesterday. Unfortunately, you weren't there. And one of the other members suggested resolutions as the word of the day, being our first meeting after New Year's. So I gave an example. Sometimes the whole thing, the whole idea is too big, and you've got to break it up into smaller pieces. So I used a practical example. I was moving from my condo into a storage locker, actually, but I was moving and I was getting married. And so I thought this was like an impossible task. So I set myself a small goal of packing 7 boxes each day. And the funny thing was, the day before I got married, I packed my last 7. It worked out absolutely correctly. So 7 I could do. I think if I said I will do a lot more than that or do less, I wouldn't have made it. But I was picking out a smaller sub-goal for each day that was doable by me. And I did it, and I really didn't deviate from that particular goal. I did 7. Never different.
Well, it's interesting because that is one of the principles that's so important in terms of creating your goals or creating the result of your goal. And one of them is breaking down the tasks into smaller pieces so that they're manageable. But also at the same time, not only breaking down your tasks, many people don't define what they want. Oh, I want to lose weight. But that's not a good enough definition of what you want and where you want to go. That's not going to get you there. And what you have to do is define, well, I want to be healthier. I want to have more energy. I want to have more motion. And you go about creating these little pieces. You know, I want to get up 10 minutes earlier and exercise for 10 minutes, no more, 10 minutes by a digital clock in the morning before I get my day going. I want to get a watch and look at my number of steps. I know my mother was 100 years old, and she was doing, she set her goal on 2,000 steps a day. 2,000. So my sister-in-law said, oh my God, she's 100 and she's getting 2,000. I am my age in my late 40s and I'm getting 8,000. So she had to step up her game. So there we were, and there you are. It's good to have two things. One, to have a manageable goal that's appropriate for you, but also to work with someone else to have some challenges in front of you, or someone to support you in creating those goals. For
somebody you can be in competition with?
That also, but it doesn't
We're going to do this. Who gets there first?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be only competition. Mm-hmm. It can be the fact that it's like my mother, I remember she moved to this place, and she'd be in her house, and I'd be there at her house, and we'd be having a cup of coffee, and I'd hear, Marie, Marie. And there were 3 women, and they're calling my mom to come out and walk around the park with her, with them. Mm-hmm. So it was working together, and it wasn't competition. It was camaraderie to have someone to, one, be responsible with. Sometimes there were four women walking, sometimes there were two, but there was always more than one. And they walked together and they talked. It wasn't too fast, it wasn't too slow. And they got that in every single day. So having a partner with your goals can be very beneficial, but also breaking down your goals into little pieces. And there's another thing is people talk about motivation of, or they talk about the end result of the goal. But what they need to focus on, not as the end result, but the joy of getting there. The fun of creating, the goal. So that it's not like, oh, I've got to get there. No, there's a degree of pleasure. There's a degree of satisfaction in small pieces of getting to where you want to go. You might even forget the end goal till you look up and you go, oh, I'm already there. Because you're so involved in the process and the degree of satisfaction that each piece of the process gives you. The number to call to come in and join this conversation, I think it's a wonderful conversation because it's going to direct us and help us and give us a realistic direction to move in that will help us create our dreams, all of them. And the number to call, 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. Go on, Carol.
Oh, what about, I went through a phase in my life, which was, I was adrift because I had goals and I'd accomplished them and I didn't know what to do next. And so I kind of floundered. I would say for several months. And I said, I recognized the problem. I didn't have any goals. I said, What do I do for new goals? So as we go through life, I think we do achieve some things. We achieve a lot of things that we want to do. And then we have to maybe take some time to reevaluate and set some new ones. And whether it's a new skill or whatever. I bought a piano. I want to learn how to play piano. But this is definitely one thing that you should do that. Do a little piece. That's why you practice. Do a little piece of it every day. And maybe after some time you're proficient. This is really difficult to measure. You can see some progress, but when are you satisfied with having met your goals? I don't know where that would be, but I liked what you really said about the journey. So playing my piano actually is quite enjoyable, and it is a challenge for me. So I have to think, I have to regroup, I have to relax. I have to make some time to do a different activity. So maybe I should make that a New Year's resolution, to blow the dust off my piano.
It sounds like a good idea. But also when you do that, Carol, try to create a realistic goal. Don't say, I'm going to sit down and work for an hour. Say, when I'm writing and I stop, I'm going to work for 8 to 10 minutes on the piano. So you've got two things going there. You have a trigger. You have a point where something happens that reminds you to go on the piano. And next of all, you have a short period, a short commitment, which is essential. Because if you say, I'm going to work an hour a day on the piano, it's it's just a matter of time. Oh, I'm too busy for a whole hour. I'm this. I can't do that. But you could do 8 minutes in the morning when you first get up. You could create your triggers that tell you when to do everything. Just like exercising. I do push-ups, but I do push-ups on a table. So I'm up. I'm partially standing. And I do that every time I come into this one room, which I go back and forth from all the time. And so entering the room is my trigger to do the push-up. And I don't do 20 of them or 30 of them. I do 5. I started out with 2. Now I'm up to 5. And that's 5, 3, 4 times a day. And that's starting to add up. It started out as 2, twice or 3 times a day. Now it's 5, 4, up to 5 times a day. And the process is very satisfying. And I don't have to set an alarm. I don't have to stop what I'm doing. I don't have to create this big, giant promise to myself. I'm creating a habit, and these habits are essential for our brain to be able to create changes. Carol?
So when do you, like, let's use my piano metaphor. When do I decide maybe I need a piano teacher? Well, to help me keep on the straight and narrow. So maybe I engage somebody to have a lesson with once a week, every other week, something to keep me on going forward and maybe being pushed a little bit.
That's like having a coach. And it's also like my mother when people would come by the house and call, Marie, let's go, we're waiting. And it's a combination of those two. Coaches are always wonderful. If you can get one, that's wonderful. There are amazing programs on the internet right now on how to learn piano. Very basic, but how to learn piano. You could get a lot of basic work done by working 10 minutes on the internet. And you are beginning to learn and to focus and training your hands and training your fingers. So it's a combination. It's wonderful to have a coach that you pay. But most of us can't do that. So how do we create this with our friends, with our family, within our lives that allows us to learn and continue learning throughout our lives or continue growing? Because this is really, yes, it's a New Year's resolution. Yes, it is motivation, but it isn't only. It's growth. It's personal growth and mind and body, depending on your choice. And how do we create that in a sustainable fashion? That's what we're attempting to talk about and explore today. A sustainable fashion so that we get out of life what we want and what we deserve. I think we begin, Carol, we really do. We begin by deciding what we want. And I think most people make their wants too big, too broad, not specific enough. And consequently, when it's not specific enough, it's close to impossible to accomplish it.
Okay, you can use imagery. I had a little training on this. And it was an interesting exercise. So look at yourself or look at somebody you're potentially working with and say, where do you see yourself in 5 years? What are you doing? You know, where are you living? And then after you go through that exercise, the other part of the exercise is, where do you see yourself in those same 5 years if you make no changes or no attempts to reach that goal? And that's kind of sobering, because you really can't say that you're doing any better than you are right at the moment, and very likely worse.
Actually, mostly worse, because problems are progressive.
Yeah, 5 years have passed.
If they're not addressed, they're progressive. You've gotten heavier. You've gotten weaker. Your muscle tone is weaker. You've spent all your money without creating a savings plan. You haven't progressed on the language that you're attempting to learn. You know, problems are progressive. And it's not that, well, I can handle what the problems that exist right now. But we forget that the problems that exist right now persist and increase as time goes on. So dealing with them in the most appropriate manner right now is the only real way to handle it. Now, this is another thing, is the word stress. Well, what do you think of when you think of stress? You think of anxious, you think of inability to sleep, you think of problems, but I'll tell you something, there's something that we want to rephrase in stress. Stress can be a very positive thing. Stress is the way you build muscle. Stress is the way you meet challenges. Stress is the way you strengthen your immune system. So it all comes down to what our mind thinks of the act of, well, it's not the act of pressure or stress. And then with that, it changes the end result. I was reading a study where they interviewed all these women who work in hotels, and those women work hard. You know, they're fixing beds, they're lifting this, they're cleaning that, they're doing the floors, they're washing the tubs. They work physically hard every day. And so they interviewed them and they asked them, are you doing any exercise? And they all said, no, I don't exercise. Do you exercise at all? No, I never exercise, ever. I'm too busy. I'm working. So they took half of these women and they explained to them how what they're doing is exercise, how their motion is exercise, how their activity is physical exercise. Now, they didn't change their diet. They didn't change their activity. But what they did was they changed the mindset of those workers, and the end result is those workers started to lose weight and started to get into physical shape, a different type of physical shape. And there were visible differences in those that they told they were exercising intensely and those that they didn't say anything to. So it's not so much the stress, but it is also the mindset that we go into these situations with that create profound physical as well as psychological changes in our ability to accomplish and go where we want to go. Carol?
We can measure that. There's heart rate variability. The pace of your heart goes up and down according to stress and your challenges. And so they're built into, like, I think some of these Fitbits and watches and Oura rings. You can actually measure your heart rate variability. And it's a good sign that you have the variability, as Corinne was just speaking. The stressors can be a good thing. But you also need relief from the stressors, so you need to have some sort of balance. So we actually are developing tools to help us measure the results and how we react to our environment. So we have this. I was always struck with heart rate variability. If you took a beta blocker drug,
which stops the heart from being beating variable. Fast.
Or exactly. Slow. It is or always slow. The same thing. And you're totally unreactive to the stress in your environment. Or sometimes, like artists, musicians and stuff, they will actually take a beta blocker.
A low-level beta blocker.
Because they want to diminish their fear of performing. But in doing that, do they not also create some flatness that you don't have the other side, the joy of the adrenaline surge, maybe?
Yeah, so that's a very interesting statement, because that variability can change the way we experience the whole event. And it can allow us more satisfaction within the event, allow us more sense of challenge within the event, and more sense of accomplishment within the event. It's a very interesting thing you brought up. Go on, Carol.
Well, I was at a conference once, and one vendor was selling equipment. So I had a heart rate variability test. And mind you, I had just, over the last couple hours, had 3 cups of coffee. And so I didn't pass my test. I was in a high sympathetic, fight or flight kind of stress mode. And of course, the environments, you know, bad lighting and stress of the air circulation, whatever. So a very stressful place. So to the person who administered the test, I put this question. I said, so how do I improve that? What do I do? Do I do breathing, meditation, yoga? You know what he said? He said, you are too stressed to do that. And I agree, because that was the last thing in the world I could do.
One of the pieces of this can be, and it's an important piece, is 5 minutes of meditation. Once when you wake up in the morning, once before you go to bed at night, then going up to 7 minutes of meditation when you wake up in the morning and when you go to bed at night. And 2 things will happen. One, it'll calm you, but a surprising thing will happen is that it'll energize you also. Simultaneously, you'll feel calmer and more energy, more focused to approach your day. So that can be one little piece, one part of your postulate or your resolution in order to function more effectively throughout the 2024, and is learning how to vary easily meditate, and that's a very powerful piece of the program.
Well, let's do something else. Let's go to the idea of taking charge of your health and the concept of biohacking. And this was a concept in a book written by Dave Asprey, and he ended up making millions of dollars on some software stuff he was involved in, and he sold it. He was quite a young man. He was over 300 pounds. He had asthma. He had all sorts of skin conditions and no energy. and was pretty miserable. So he decided to look at his health like he would a programming problem. And he decided that he had to be able to document changes and show that he was in a good direction or a bad direction of whatever he chose to do. So let me just give an easy example, I think, like blood pressure. Suppose you had a blood pressure problem and you just realized it and you really don't want to go on drug pressure medications. So we need to find out what is causing your blood pressure to go up. Now we have a tool. We have blood pressure cuffs, so we can take our blood pressure more often. You can do like the 15 minutes of meditation and check your blood pressure. Did it come down? Are you happy with the change in doing the meditation? You feel better, you can document that, but you have another record of something that's helped you to your goal of getting your blood pressure back to normal without drugs. Okay, so another thing, a supplement magnesium. Maybe you are so deficient in magnesium that you're unable to have a good blood pressure. So making up the deficiency in magnesium. Now you can be using your blood pressure cuff. Now you could also do a test. You could do a test for, and the best would be the red blood cell magnesium inside the cell, because that's where it accumulates. So now you have two tests you can monitor. And we could go on and on. I can think of other things to do for blood pressure. Walking, for example. You do some walking and you take your blood pressure before and after walking. Does your blood pressure come down? Okay, maybe you have an issue with your job or your relationship. Do you wake up in the morning and your blood pressure is fine, but you go to work and you start getting headaches and dizziness because your blood pressure's gone up so much because of the stress? Well, you have to take steps to mitigate that. So you can use your tools of things you can measure to make a difference. Corinne?
Yes, those are objective monitors. And I think objective monitors can be very powerful. And that's a piece of a much larger program that you want to put together while you're watching your health, while you're watching your energy, while you're watching your ability to make change. So I'm really into, and right now today, I'm attempting to focus on little pieces, little steps that we can take that overall will make big changes and will allow us to get where we want. You know, the first problem, you know what the first problem is? Is people don't know how to make resolutions. They make the resolutions too broad and then they're impossible to deal with. And they direct themselves to the end point rather than working through the in the process and getting joy out of the process. That is essential, to have joy in the process rather than waiting to have the end result so then you can experience joy. It's too long. So you want to have joy every day, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here and there. And all that will focus you and direct you in a much more positive way.
So, Corinne, okay, yes. How about relating to us a time you set a goal or a resolution that was successful? What worked for you?
Um, You put me on the spot, my dear. Well,
I thought we were going to ask the audience this extra about the number.
The number to 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. So in terms of what I have been able to accomplish, and I, working with my patients has always been a powerful relationship of satisfaction to me. So that it's not so much working on me, it's being the coach or the guider of others that gives me so much pleasure. And the end result is I look up and in months and I have so many people that have gotten so much better. And I feel so proud by that and happy for them and happy for my practice, because it tells me that something is right. Something is going right. And that is also what we deal with. People come in and they want big change. And I start them on something very small and they think, oh my God, she didn't even address the issue.
your goal in doing this, helping coach and mentor people into having better health or all around a better life, what steps did you get to create that? What steps were involved in creating that situation?
Well, number one step, number one, and so essential, and essential when you're doing this for yourself, is listening. It's listening. It's hearing the patient and hearing what they're saying. And, you know, I think Leo Gallen said, but I think he was repeating it from someone else. He always said that that the longer you listen to a patient, they will tell you what the problem is. Exactly. And so you just have to take the time to focus and listen. And so I begin by listening. And then once I've listened, in my mind, I'm going through what steps to take to get them there. And so I start with baby steps. I have to have big enough steps. So those steps have to be big enough so people can feel that there's a change coming about, but not so big that they can't do it. So it's always a push-pull right there, trying to find the enough to make it a somewhat of a change so people can feel that something is happening and or not so big that it's beyond their ability. When you make things that are too big for yourself or for others, you set up for failure. So you want to take those, like I said, those baby steps. Two or three or four baby steps creates one big step.
That's lovely. I'm trying to think of a situation in my life along those things. Oh, I determined to learn German. And I did it because my husband spoke German. We had German friends. And they would lapse into German. I wouldn't know what's going on. We made more trips to Germany. I knew how to ask for a cup of coffee. So I determined to learn more German, and I bought a Pimsleur course. But you can do things like later on, I started working with Spanish, and there's free things for your phone app now. you can learn a new language. And so I peeled off. It was back when we had Walkmans, and I put my CD in the Walkman, and I had a place I was going to regularly that was exactly a half-hour walk, which was the time of the lesson. So it really helped me that I had this other commitment, and I had the opportunity to listen while I was walking. And I made my way through the whole course, the whole bloody course. And it had great advantages because I now did reach a goal of understanding people. And I was even surprised myself how often I could pick things up when people were talking. But I was at a big disadvantage because PIMSLR course, or even some of those online courses, you don't have the written language. You can't write. You can't read. And so learning a language is a whole big piece of everything. So I reached my goal of understanding German a little better. I did not reach a goal of being proficient in the language, so I could really, what I would think in a language, I would like to be able to read the literature. And I'd also, I think this is a goal if you're trying to learn a language, if you can understand and use humor in a language that's not your primary language, I think is a big piece, because humor can be so subtle. So it takes a lot of work. And so I left it at that, but I always thought it would be nice to have another language I could do that in.
Well, you know what? There is a program that I have found, and it's interesting. I found it. My brother's been using this program. He told me about it, but then I was listening to TED Talks, and I heard the founder and the creator of this program and what he did and how he did it. And it's all based on different forms of motivation. And it's called Duolingo. And they said that some of the most important parts to maintaining brain function, and the most difficult thing to do, is to learn a language. And so they've set up programs that are 4 and 5 minutes long with high amounts of repetition. And so there you are going over the language that you want to. And it has reading. It has reading, and you type in words, and it also has pronunciation. They hear what you say and comment on the way you pronounce it. But then they also, you touch the word and the word is pronounced for you. So the programs are much more complete and much better now. And it's a powerful thing to learn a language. It's a really good brain tool that sets you up for a much larger goal, but in teeny little increments. You could do it 4 minutes a day. My housekeeper, I told her about it, and she does it every morning. She wakes up for about 4 or 5 minutes, and she does it before bed, every night before falling asleep, about 5 up to 10 minutes. She says, I don't want to stop. She said, I just love it so much. So that's Duolingo. And it's a powerful program based on an understanding of motivation, and it would be worth it to do, to look at the TED Talk on how this program was created. You can be quite impressed, and how it works. You might want to clean up your German on Duolingo.
Well, I put Spanish on my Duolingo, and I have to agree that they do have exercises in reading, which the PIMSLR course never did, and it does help. And And they tell you how well you're doing. Talk about metrics.
Exactly.
They say you now have 1,000 words in Spanish. And they say if you have 500 words, I believe, in a language, you can do some rudimentary
conversation.
But I always love these little guidebooks, like, oh, where is the bathroom? Where is the bank? Where is the hotel? Heaven forbid somebody answers you. What are you going to do with it?
Down the street halfway, right? Make a left.
Behind
then
that big gray
street,
building.
Make a right. There you are. Whoops. A big problem. So, but that is another way to create some of your goals, is by utilizing and incorporating some of these wonderful tools that never existed before, but now exist, and they're there for us to utilize and to be able to support us. It's like having a coach, and like what you were talking about, having a coach, having a teacher, and can be very effective in terms of pushing you forward in terms of getting to your goal.
Okay, so we're not getting any callers, but let's talk about you and me. Do you have a New Year's resolution?
I have a couple, but you know, they're going to take a lot of work and a lot of focus. I'm going to have to create what they call triggers, which remind me to act upon my resolution when act upon it as I'm throughout the day. So I'm going to have to create my triggers. I've got some work to do to create a program that works for me so that I can move things forward. So, yes, I do. And we'll see how we do. I don't want just something that'll last a week or 2 weeks. It's too frustrating when you set yourself up for lying to yourself. You lose your own credibility to yourself. And when you do that, it's really hard to get what you want when you've lost your own personal credibility to yourself. And then it's impossible to move yourself forward or close to. How about you, Carol? Any thoughts?
Well, I wanted to interject this because I thought it was so clever. At Toastmasters yesterday, this woman gave a short speech, and she talked about the difference between her last year me and her this year me.
Oh, nice.
I thought that was beautifully spoken. And something to think about. What do you want to bring from last year forward to your this year me? And I've been thinking for a long time, and I've embraced this for a while. I want to practice kindness in as much as I can, all the little things that you come across every day. You know, notice other people, see where you need to open a door, or they drop something and you pick it up, or just all these little things in our lives with our interactions with each other, to practice kindness as much as we can.
That's really beautiful because, first of all, you can do it all day, every day. But second of all, when you do that, it makes your personal life better. It's sort of like... I was looking at my dog. My dog is the most agreeable, happy dog in the world. You know, I've seen a dog calendar as a joke, and it says, The first of the month, best day ever. Second of the month, best day ever. Third of the month, best day ever. Fourth, the whole month, it just says best day ever. And that's the way
I love that. You posted that.
Yeah, that's the way this dog is. Best day ever. And I see how he relates. He relates to everybody in that way. Best day ever. And everybody he's around has a positive physical and emotional reaction back. So he's putting that out and the world is shining on him. This absolutely beautiful world is shining on him. Whereas there's a little dog across the street who's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And so people are walking down the street with their dogs and they let him sniff. And then this little son of a gun attacks them. and attacks them. And if he's free in the yard and someone walks near the yard, rah, 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 and he's experiencing, although he lives on the same block, a totally different world with a lot of negative being directed toward him. Whereas my dog, the world has only positives directed toward him. So what you're saying about you want to be nicer creates so much as it creates a world that's so much nicer to be in, to relate to share. It's lovely. It's a lovely postulate.
Okay, it looks like it's about time to wrap it up. We should say, please support us here at Take Charge of Your Health. Become a WBAI buddy or send a donation in and say that you love our show. We hope you do. And Corinne?
The number to call for a donation is 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Or you can become a buddy. You can become a BAI buddy and a Take Charge of Your Health buddy. And the end result, when I hear the word, when I feel like we're holding hands and walking into the future. That's what I see. That's what I envision every time I hear that we're a buddy. And you could become a buddy with a monthly at any level donation. It could be $5 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month. I would love it to be the amount of money that you spend every month just on getting coffee in the city. That you'd be surprised if you start adding it up and you make your own coffee at home and get and send that money to BAI. So programs like this can exist. And you support the producers who work very hard and put tremendous amount of energy and thought and education behind what they share with you for over 60 years. It's very exciting. So the number to call, 212-209-2950, or you can go on the internet, give to WBAI.org. And we'll be back next week. We have a great show. And thank you so much for spending this time with us. Happy New Year to you and your family. And make it the best year ever. You can. You can. It's up to you. Thanks, Carol.
Thanks, Corinne.
Thank you, Reggie. And we'll be back next week. Bye-bye. So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health.
Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.